Today's daf is the final daf from the second brachot, daf Samach Dalet. We're holding a daf Samach Gimel, Amud Beit, and wow, it's been quite a journey, guys. So the last thing that we learned was the din of Hasket Ushma Yisrael. Hayom Hazeh Niyeta La'am. From there, we had the whole beautiful discussion of what it's like to miss Kriyat Shema in the sense that things are always new and it's as if you've never had the opportunity before. And now, once we already raised the issue of Hasket, it turns out that not only can we use that pasuk to teach about how Divrei Torah should be Chadashim Be'inecha, but also the pasuk itself gives us numerous hints about how it is indeed that we're supposed to be learning Torah in the first place, which is quite remarkable. So what does Hasket mean? Many different levels. Because we can darshan it as two separate words, Has and Kate. Now Has, we know, has different meanings. Has is get yourself ready to move, you know, move on. Has. The other one is Has. Everyone should shut up and pay attention, which is the Hasket. So here we're darshaning it like this. Has, get ready to move and make Asu. Kitot, kitot, vizkuba Torah. What you should do is make yourself a chavrusa. Get together in groups. Don't try to learn alone. It's absolutely essential to have people to talk to discuss things with, to turn around your ideas with them, and otherwise you will get stuck in your own misconceptions. Just keep building on them and building on them, which can be disastrous. There's like a sword against people that are alone, and they become no'alim. Well, what does that mean? Well, we don't want to say it outright, so we say it as a euphemism. It's like there's a sword lifted up against the haters of Talmidei Chachamim, of course, referring to Talmidei Chachamim themselves, those who don't have the desire to be and to learn with chavrusas and with a group, and don't have any chance to mull over their ideas together. There's no peer review. There's no discussion. There's none of that joy and happiness and the expansion of a sukkah that makes you feel that things are alive and they're not just sitting inside of your solipsistic brain. And those kind of people, not only is there a sword against them because of the fact that they don't care about the development of Torah, but v'no'alu, what is v'no'alu? Different levels. One level is they become idiots. Because K'tiv Hacha v'no'alu, u'K'tiv Atam, when Aaron and Miriam were talking about what it is that they did wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu, so over there it says, Asher no'alnu v'asher chatanu. So Aaron says to Moshe to please beg Hashem, and he himself should not be makbid on them because of the stupidity that we did. Not only is it stupid, but it's no'alnu v'chatanu. So apparently the issues of the type of stupidity that we're talking about over here is a stupidity that leads to chatanu, and therefore means lo'od ela shechatanu, because the end of that pasuk of Aaron and Miriam is asher no'alnu ve'asher chatanu as well. And there's also another raya that the word no'alu is ipso facto, without even the connection to asher chatanu, has in it elements of chet, because look, it says no'alu soret so'an. So when it's referring over here to the way that the elders of Mitzrayim have misled the country, so it says, Nis'u sarenov hit'u et Mitzrayim. Hit'u et Mitzrayim means to give that kind of wrong guidance means that it's a chet. So we see that when you talk about no'alu and you give persons the wrong approach to life, that's part of the no'alu, which is exactly the issue over here. People who do not have the benefit of the chabura and the love of Torah that's specially expressed in the Chaburah, they are just going to end up fooling themselves and misguiding others. Dover Acher, another way of understanding the Pasuk that has to do with teaching us how to deal with Divrei Torah in this very Pasuk that says, Ayom Hazeh Niyeta La'am, is Hasket Ushma Yisrael, has the other meaning of Hasket is to be Kitetu Atzvechem Al Divrei Torah. So what you should do, we're using the word over here, asay, sort of asay, has, get ready to move, and asay and cut. So that means the first one was get ahead, move on, and get yourselves a group. The other one is get ahead and grind yourself down if you have to. Don't take it easy when you're learning. You've got to really push and you've got to really exert yourself. You got to kill yourself over this. Where will you find this Torah that you pointed to? Now that's Torah. Adam ki amut ba'ol. A person who just kills himself over Divrei Torah because it's the most important thing in the world to him. Dover acher, yet another pshat, haskeit, pay close attention. Ushma Yisrael is another element of learning Torah, which is the other meaning of has, which is like has kol basar, means to be quiet. Now, what's amazing about learning is that you must go through a period where what is called psychologically is called bracketing. Because you must first bracket yourself and shut down your mind to stop always thinking about what you want to say instead of what it is that you're being taught. You have to listen. So first, be quiet. Has. Shut up. Listen first to the Divrei Torah. Absorb first the Divrei Torah. Then katate. Then grind it up in your own mind. Break it into pieces. Digest it. Work it out. That's like the Shulchan Aruch. That's Bukhama Achila. That's the Kitita. Kitarava. The Amarava. La'olam yilmod adam Torah. First, get all your facts straight. Learn what it is that you're being taught. Then, achar kach yege, then analyze, then work it out, then break it down. That's all in one word, in the same pasuk, that teaches of the chashivas feeling, freshness, and the newness of every moment of Torah. Amar Divrei Rabbi Yonai, my dechtiv, what do we do with the rather strange pasuk that we find in Mishlei? Ki mitz chalav yotzi chema, squeezing out milk gets you butter. Umitz af, and squeezing out of anger gets you blood. And squeezing out double anger gets you arguments. What in the world? So, ki mitz chalav yotzi chema, umitz af yotzi dam, umitz apayim yotzi riv. That doesn't make any sense. It's a beautiful pshat. Mitz chalav means mi ata motse chema shel chalav. Where will you chema shel Torah? Where do you find the real creme de la creme, the butter of Torah? B'mi shemeki chalav shianak mishdei imo. It's somebody who works so hard and is willing to face the harshness of reality rather than the nice. You know, people always telling you over verter. They're so comfortable with those verter. They never mean anything new. It's always repeating what it is that they've known for their whole lives. And it's just like another way of saying the same thing for the 1000th. And it's just amazing. But the people that are ready to spit out the milk that they nursed at their mother's breasts, that's the kind of person that is going to go through the hell of discovering a whole new world through his learning. That's the guy that's going to get you, not the milk that you get at your mother's breasts, but your tzichem ah. That which is that where you make yourself and have discovered yourself the real la creme of Torah. Another meaning, and continuing the pasuk, squeezings of anger. So what are squeezings of anger? That means very often it's very difficult to tolerate the way your mean Rebbe treats you. And he gets angry at you, you feel it's not fair, and like, why are you so demanding, and so on. So kol talmid shiko eis alav rabo pa'am rishona. The first time, this is mitzaf, as opposed to mitzapayim, you stay quiet and you take it. And you just take it. And you're quiet. Zocher lafchin yotzi dam. Such a person will be able to learn, ultimately, even to be mavdo between dam tome and dam tohar, and being able to be aimed with the kind of pressure that is put on you sometimes in learning. You'll put up with it and you'll end up coming out a big Talmud Chacham. But if you've got mitzapayim, this is somebody that's ready to take it over and over and over again. He will get even to the darga where he'll be able to see how much more amazingly detailed are the issues of dine momonot, which people think, yeah, okay, you know, everybody's got a lot to say. The reason they've got a lot to say is because the subtleties are infinite. There are so many elements of a deal. And when you're talking about those kind of dinim, you have got to have much greater patience and much greater depth to be able to deal with them. This, of course, was the reason that the Dayanim and Rabbanim of cities used to be the ones that were the best possible financial advisors, because they've seen so much, they know every trick, they understand every contract, they know every little line and wording. These are the guys to speak to, because they're the only ones that got to that madrega. The Tan, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Arotzesh Yitchakem, somebody wants to come to a darg of true chokhmah, Ya'asok b'dinei momonot, the place to look is in financial issues. She'en l'cha miktsoa b'torah yoter miyam, she'en k'mahayan noveya, they're constantly welling forth new elements that nobody ever thought of before, new financial instruments, new type of investments, unbelievable things nobody ever even conceived, and they all have to be seen within the context of the mishpatim that the Torah gave as the yesedes of more and more complexity as time goes on. Another thing you have to know about learning is that im navalta beitnase, if you made a total ass out of yourself, you are going to become great. The imzamota, but if you put a muzzle over your mouth, yad lapeh, you're going to end up putting your hand over your mouth when it comes time to talk. So in other words, what does this mean? Kol hamina be'latzmal divrei Torah, a person who is willing to tolerate the most bizyonis that he gets from asking stupid questions again and again. Look, I don't understand. And everybody's like looking at, oh my God, this guy's a real idiot. But in the end, sofo le'itnaseh, he's going to become the greatest. The imzamanta, if you put on a muzzle over your mouth because you can't take the embarrassment, then yad lepet, when it comes time for you to have to speak up and to say what the din will be, all you'll be able to do is put your hand over your mouth and go duh, because you weren't willing to risk what it took to become a real Talmud Chacham. Anyway, getting back to the story. So here we are sitting in Kerem B'Yavne, and everybody is opening and speaking over the kovetz. So we started off, because Rabbi Yehuda was Rosh HaMadavrim B'chol Mokim, he was the one that was koveya the psicha b'chvod ha-Torah. Everybody else opened b'chvod ha-Chsanya. So there were so many people that had opened their homes up to all of these Talmidei Chachamim, and all of the different ways of looking at the special relationship of an Achsanya that takes seriously what it means to be mischaber to Talmidei Chachamim became the theme of what everybody was speaking about. So potach Rabbi Nechemya b'chvod achsanya v'darash. What's the meaning of Vayomer Shaul alakeni l'chu suru redu mitoch amaleki? Sounds a little familiar from today. Another one of these great kind of perfect timing. So penosiv chaimo v'ata asita chesed. So what was this great chesed that Shaul is referring to? And this was the fact that Yisrael had invited all of the Gedolei Yisrael, Moshe and Aaron and Zikne Yisrael, to this amazing Seuda, which was in celebration of his coming and being able to have a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. Now, obviously, this is not exactly the most altruistic of all things. I mean, remember, he had quite an agenda on mind, Yisrael. First of all, he was trying to rebuild the family connections, and he was putting himself into position of, as Rashi says, Ani Chotano Shel Melech. This was in the end, what it is that he gets from it. So imagine, Alo Dvarim Ka V'Chomer, if Yitro, were all of these great things he was doing, basically what in the end was for his own honor. And this is nonetheless the way that we're calling it. Days later, unbelievable that Shaul should say to him, don't think we forgot that meal, That was amazing. Your commitment to Klal Yisrael and to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's after all of those centuries, it's so chashuv that it saves the lives of his descendants. Ha-me'areach tamid chacham b'toch beito, u'ma'achilo, u'ma'ashkeu, u'ma'aneu min ha-chasav. Imagine somebody who actually invites the Talmud Chacham into his home. Imagine the incredible zchus. Rabbi Yossi was next to speak, and he also began speaking about the Kvod Achsanya v'Darash. Lo tita'ev Adoni ki achichahu. Lo tita'ev Mitzri ki ger hayita be'artso. This is amazing, because what a kavachomer. The Mitzrim I mean, they brought Klal Yisrael in, not exactly for altruistic purposes. That came out at the very first meeting with Paro after he meets with Yosef and the brothers and so on. So at the end of the meeting, what does he say? Hey, psst, by the way, if any of them are really good, you know, I'd like you to send them over to me to be in charge of everything that I need. So and nonetheless, kach, the Torah says lederes, that you have to, no matter how it is that you were mistreated ultimately, you have to be in a position of showing hakaras teva to Mitzrayim. And you can't be marking them. Amareach tamid chacham betoch beto, machilo, mashkeo, mahaneo, minachasav, alachat kama vekama. Potach Rebbe Eliezer ben Asher Rebbe Yossi Aglili, next to speak, bichvod achsanya, he too opened up in honor of those who had opened their homes, vidarash. Vayevorech Hashem et oved edom ba'avur aron elokim. So remember what happened is that David HaMelech, in the feeling the terror of the Midas Hadin that had been Nisgala in Peretz Be'uza, so he's afraid to take the Oron. He says, I'm not on a madrega, I'm going to take the Oron to Yerushalayim. And he puts it in the home of Oved Edom HaGiti. Then he comes back to see what happened over there. And it turns out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayevarcheyo Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him brachas for the fact that he had the Oron in his home. I mean, remember, I mean, the Oron, there's not much you can do. You can't feed it. I mean, what do? You dust, you know, okay. So you sweep the floor, you dust around so that it should be in a mokum mechubad. All he did was kibed v'ribeit shlifanav kach. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him such brachot. Ha-me'areach tamid chacham betoch beto. I mean, some of these rabbis, they're really tough to have around. So you bring in one of these talmidei chachomim into your house, you know, you got to feed him, you got to give him the drink, got to take care of him. Ma'aneo min chasav. So alachat kama v'kama. By the way, what was the big bracha that Oved Edom HaGiti got? I mean, it just says v'yivarcheo. It seems like a very broad kind of statement. No, but if you take a look at Divrei Hayomim, you can actually trace the bracha itself. And this is a beautiful diak that Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida said, that what this is referring to is a mother-in-law, meaning his wife, and her eight daughter-in-laws, where all nine of them, his own wife and all eight of her daughter-in-laws, were rewarded with a birth that was mazkir the darga of Yisrael in Mitzrayim because of the fact that he had been metapel in the Aron like Bnei Yisrael. And what was that? Shisha bekeres echad. All nine of them had shisha bekeres echad. How do we know that? Because if you take a look at the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim that describes the story of Oved Edom, so it says over there, Oved Edom banim, and then it lists eight banim. So it says Shemaya HaBechor, Yozavad HaSheni, Yoach HaShlishi, Sochar HaRavi'i, Nitan El HaChamishi, Ami El HaShishi, Yisachar HaShevi'i, Pu'ulati HaShmini, Ki Berachol Elohim. So he had eight sons. Then it goes on to say that Kol Eile Mibnei Oved Edom Hema, all of these eight that we just listed, Heim Uvnehem, Ve'achehem, all of them were ish chayil b'kayach la'avodah, which all added up to 62 for Oved Edom. Shishim u'shnayim l'Oved Edom. So how do we get that? I mean, we started off with eight. Obviously, we went beyond that somehow with another 54. But 54, if we've got nine women, assuming that each one of these eight sons had a wife, as it says, b'nehem, akhem, and so on. So if each one of them had a wife, plus he had his wife, then all together they had a special bracha after the Aron Elokim was there, which gave us 62, 54 plus the original eight. Amazing. So they all had sextuplets. Omer Rabbi Yavin HaLevi, kol adochek et hasha'a, sha'a dochaketo, v'chol anitche mipnei hasha'a, sha'a nitcha milafanav. So people who push themselves and make it as if this is my hour, in the end, he's destroyed by that hour. This Rashi brings us the story of Avshalom, who wanted to become a melech and pushed himself and end up hung. And the same thing happens. So the Gemara gives beautiful maisa behind this. Mita Rabba Rav Yosef. Because what happened is, if you know the background of Rav Yosef and Rabba, they were extremely different in their approach to learning. Again, this is giving us the deeper sense of like the approaches to Torah and what these approaches mean and how they relate back to the Kabbalah Satera and how they relate to the Chema Shel Torah and the different stages of learning in which first you absorb and then you give out. So Lamaisa, Rav Yosef was known as the Sinai man, because he was such an incredible bucky in all of the brises besides the Mishnayos, and he had all of the Mekoros absolutely clear. And he was not as great as Rabbah was in the process of analysis and pilpul and understanding things. Rabbah, on the other hand, did not have that kind of breadth that Rabbi Yosef had in terms of his knowledge, but he was an amazing Oker Harim. He was like extremely smart. He could actually take that Har Sinai. You see, Rabbi Yosef is called Sinai, but Rabbah is called the guy who can uproot the mountain at the very source and grind it all up and start over again, which of course is the Chema Shel Torah. It was a beautiful interrelationship of Sinai to the Oker Harim, right? And because of that, they weren't quite sure when Itzrich Luhu Sh'aita, it came time that they needed a new Rosh Yeshiva for the yeshiva in Bavel, and they sent a message to Eretz Yisrael to ask what would be the smarter choice. So Shalchu Lahatam, if you have a choice between a Sinai and an Oker Harim, what should be the preference for leading the yeshiva? Shalchu Luhu, so they sent them back, look, there's one very simple rule. Always Sinai comes first. This is very similar to what we just learned. First, make sure that you have all of your Torah in place. Why is Sinai Kedem? Everyone needs the guy who's got the grain. This, of course, is the whole chibur, as Tosis points out, the Gemara really is Merames elsewhere in the story, but as the Tosis points out, the relationship of Rabbi Yosef to Yosef HaTzadik, who's the Morei Chitaya, and this ends up being a story of 22 years of waiting, which was exactly what had happened to Yosef, and that Rabbi Yosef was Korah al-Atzmei, the Gemara says over there, V'rav Tvuot B'Koach Shor, and that's the Hadar Shoro, is the nature of Yosef himself. Anyway, so they called on, because of that Psak Halacha, so they called on Rabbi Yosef to be the Rosh Yeshiva. However, Rabbi Yosef absolutely refused to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, the reason that he refused was because when he was a kid, so the astrologers had to give him a reading, you know, which you're not allowed to do, but if they read it for you, you're allowed to take it seriously, according to some shitas. So they told him, you're going to be a Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years, you know, but then you're going to drop dead. So he figures, why take the job now? I can always take the job later. So he said, no, you let Rabbah be the melech, so to speak, the Rosh Yeshiva. So indeed, Molach Rabbah, Esrim V'tartan Shnin, for 22 years, Rabbah was king. And after Rabbah died, then Molach Rav Yosef Tartan Shnin Upalga. So for 2.5 years, Rav Yosef died. So what does that mean? This is an amazing pshat in Sha'ah Omedet Lo. But why do you say Sha'ah Omedet Lo? Is simply that the time will come, the right time will come. But Rashi's Barami Sha'ah Omedet Lo means his clock stopped ticking. He didn't lose out on any life because of those 22 years. If he had taken the job, so he would have lived for 2 years at that time, and that would have been it. Since he didn't take the job, and he let the shi'ah, it was nitcheket lifnei ha'sha'ah, so the clock on his life end stopped ticking, and it only started ticking again when he went and took on the job. So Sha'ah Omedet Lo, literally. We use that word today talking about a watch that stops. So it's Omed. Kol Hanach Shni, and you should know that during that entire period that Rabbah was Rosh Yeshiva, he was very careful not to take any darga at all of chashivas. Afilu umna lebeite lo kara. He wouldn't even ask a doctor to come to his house. He would go to the clinic like everybody else. Why Elohei Yaakov specifically? I mean, don't we need the schus of all of the others that we're talking about over here? Dafke Elohei Yaakov, v'lo Elohei Avraham v'Yitzchak. I mean, why would David HaMelech give us a bracha in Tehillim that Dafke Yisagevcha, the strength that you have, should come from Elohei Yaakov? So we learn a very choshev thing over here. that mikan lebaal hakora sheikanes ba'ovya shel kara. This, of course, has become a bitui. When somebody is the one who owns the roof beam, he should be the one who puts himself under the heaviest part, and he should put himself under the thickest part if they're carrying it. And this is true with Yaakov as well. He was the one that had all of the shvatim, and it's bedavka he who is responsible for the schuyot that are necessary, for the tefillos that are necessary for the survival of those bunim more than anyone else. V'yomar Rabbi Yovin HaLevi, another discussion of this great su'udah that we spoke about in terms of Yitro and here in terms of the coming to Keren B'Yavne, but kol ha-ne'eneh mi-su'udah she-talmid chacham sharui betocha ki-ilu ne'eneh mi-ziv ha-shchina. We talked before about the nature of Emunah providing a space. The Talmud Chacham represents that space. And if there is a Talmud Chacham in that su'udah, then it's as if the individuals who participated were all in the presence of the Shechina. Shenemar vayavo Aharon v'chol ziknei Yisrael le'chol lechem im choten Moshe lifnei ha'elohim. What's that supposed to mean? What do you mean in front of God? I mean, everybody's in front of God. I mean, it's not as if they went into there was no Mishkan that they went into. I mean, what was it referring to? V'chi lifnei ha'elohim achlu. Halal lifnei Moshe achlu. I mean, the only one that was there that it mentions was Moshe and the Zakenim. The very fact that they were ne'eneh misuda, shetalmid chacham sharui betocha, is the equivalent of lifnei Elohim. And it's ki'ilu ne'eneh miziv ha'shchina. The Omar Rabbi Yovin HaLevi, this idea of the continued growth towards Olam Haba, in which everything in life is a development, and that is the essence of the nature of our Emunah, which we spoke about, the confusion that we have in needing to constantly work on the two yuds, and we're always in trouble and always fighting. In the Lashon of the Mesilas Yesharim, Nimtza Milchama, a person is Betocha Milchama Kasha, and that Milchama is in front of him and in back of him, and as long as he lives, he's fighting. And that is true. If you don't see it as a fight, and you're looking for the comfort, and you want to go against what Reish Lakish says, you want to be v'no'alu, so then you miss the entire point of living in Olam Hazeh. And therefore, when you say goodbye to someone, don't ever say to him, lech bishalom, go in peace. What is this with going in peace? People should never go in peace. They're always at war. So what you should say is, lech lishalom. You should go towards peace, because in Olam Haba, you could be zocha to a shlemus, which is shalom. But, and take a look at, we can actually see this in practice, because Yitro, she'amar lo le-Moshe, lech lishalom, when Yitro told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go and do what he has to do, he didn't tell him lech bishalom, he said lech lishalom. So the rest of Moshe Rabbeinu's life was a constant aliyah, and he was Allah, he kept going up, v'itzliach, and he was successful in his aliyah. David, and this goes back to the beginning, as Rashi says, the beginning is a reference to Avshalom, of kol ha-docheket ha-sha'ah, that ein ha-sha nidcheket efanav. David told Avshalom, when he told him he can go, he told him, lech bishalom. And what happened to him? Halach v'nitla. He ended up being hung. And that was the end of him. The Omar Rebavin HaLevi, on the other hand, someone who is saying goodbye to one who has died, and this could have happened multiple times, because remember, they used to first bury an individual at the place of his death, and they would transfer the remains back to his family's Beit HaKvarot. So at each time when there was a chabura that had brought the mace to a new place, they would give it over to the next chabura, and they would say, lech bishalom. Do not tell a person who has died lech lishalom, because then the implication is that he still has a hell of a lot, literally, to go through before he ever gets to peace. So we want to, okay, go to hell, have a good time, you know, and then you'll finally reach shalom. Instead, you should tell him lech bishalom. Dafka tell him lech bishalom. Shenema, ata tavo el avotecha bishalom. Avram Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you will actually be buried in a state of bishalom, and that means that the right way to speak to a mace is to, not to indicate chas v'shalom, that they still have a long way to go before they're ready for shalom. Omar Rebbe Levi Barchia, hayotzei mi beit hakneset, v'nichnas lebeit hamidrash, v'osek batorah. Somebody who has a vision of life in which you're at war and you're going from one battle to the next. So he goes to daven in the morning, and he zocha to tefillah, which is such a difficult thing to do. It's such a powerful thing to do that we actually call it vayigash elav. And he leaves the Beit HaKnesset, and instead of going for a cup of coffee, he goes into the Beit HaMidrash and immediately starts learning. Zocha umekabel pnei ashchina, sheneamar yelchu michayel el choyel. You go from one strength to the next. Yera'eh el Elohim b'tzion. Omar Reb Chiya Barashi, Omar Rav. If you're talking about the relationship between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and the continued growth, and the relationship of that growth to the emunah that you have that is built on Torah, which is constantly expanding and constantly presenting you with a broader and broader space that becomes Olam Haba, then you should know that Talmidei Chachamim, they don't lose the opportunity to grow in Olam Haba. They do not have menucha, lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. Because it says, yelchu michayel el choyil, yera'eh el Elohim b'tzion. So there will be a constant growth of Talmidei Chachamim, even after Yemos HaMashiach, even after Techiyas HaMesim, and that's the really ultimate space of emunah.